Start your day the Torah way in Northwest London, Wednesday, 23rd of Tammuz, 12th of July. Rabbi Binyamin Shodi Shlita, removing tags on Shabbos. This week's Torah way has been sponsored this week at Simchas Habar Mitzvah of Ari Ostreicher, which took place last Shabbos. Yehi Ratzon Shizkei Harov Uzkenov L'Rav Nachas Amen Mikol Yotzei Chalotzeihem.
Morning, everyone. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be back again. We learned this previous Shabbos the words "Oilas Tomid Ha'asuya Bahasinai L'Reach Nichayach Ishal Hashem." Korban Tomid was brought once in the morning, once in late in the afternoon. The Torah describes it as Ha'asuya Bahasinai. Why is that relevant? Why? What are those words teaching us? You know, what might nafkin minna that it was brought to Hasinai. So Rashi says, "Apshat shamikra," that one of the pshatim is that it teaches us you need a keli, you need to be makabel the dam in a keli, etc. Ayin shamim Rashi. Perhaps there's a remez here that the avoda of a korban tamid is that you are connecting to the asuya b'Hasinai. Which means if you want to be connected to Matan Torah, then the avoda of a person is that your avoda has to be tamid. If your avoda, that your avoda Hashem is not tamid, then there's something wrong with the Gilui Shechina that you connected to, your neshama connected to Ahasinai. Obviously, it's not Pshat Hashem Mikra, but perhaps that's the remez over here. Yeah. Mishnah tells us on Shiva Asa B'Tamuz was Bottle HaKorban Tamid. Mefarshim explained that the Mishnah is not stam telling us a fact. Obviously it is a fact. The Mishnah is telling you something deeper. That the sorrow that happened at Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, which obviously continues on until the end of the 3 weeks, Zman of Beinam Tzorim, the sorrow was that the Tadirus, the Tamidius of the Avodah of Klal Yisrael was Bottle. Whatever happened, whatever we did, but our Aveda wasn't tamid. It wasn't day in, day out. It was, Aveda Hashem was Aveda Hashem. It's something that we do. But it wasn't something that was literally day in, day out, that it's Chok V'lo Yavra. And I was thinking, coming to give a Torah shit, that one of the milers of Torah way is that it is tamid. It's every single day, Chok V'lo Yavra. Yes, could be that sometimes you have an onus, sometimes you don't turn up, whatever the reason is, but the approach to it is that it's tamid. And when, yes, the topics are different, the person who stands here is also different, that's not tamid. But one thing that is tamid is the shir, and the people that attend the shir, which is more important than the person who stands giving the shir. Right? And therefore, it's a zchus that, especially in this time of year, that we take the mile of tamid, we take it to the level that I was thinking maybe we should have a Torah share in the evening as well. You know, it's common tamid is twice a day, so we should have a Torah share. You know, maybe it's a new idea we could institute. But al kaponim, we should be zaycha together with avoda. We should allow it to spill over into other aspects of our day. Of our davening, of our own personal limit HaTorah, that it should always be tamid and it should always be besimcha, as Hashem, which we zeicha to the gula. I'd like to discuss the following sugya. I was warned before the shir that a person came up to me and he said, "I don't want to hear chumras today." And I don't blame him. So I'm going to try my best. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Dav Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, read you out one line of a Gemara. Chaysalois shall gregorous v'shal tomorrow. They're basically nets or baskets. Baskets is a better word. Which are made to contain fruit that have not ripened yet. And you leave the fruit inside until the fruit ripen. Right? That's the idea of this basket. Now, It's what they used to do. They used to have a cover to the basket. They used to be tied with a string. So Gemara says, Mater or mafkia v'chaitich. You're allowed to untie. You're allowed to cut with a knife. Or you'll snap it, whatever, however you do it, depending on your level of strength. Gemara says you're allowed to snap these strings which are connecting my cover to my basket. As they state in Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos, Siman Shin Yud Dalet Sivches, tells us the following. Chaisalos Pirish Minei Kelim Shal Tamari Megregris Imakisoi Koshru B'chevel Mater V'seise Shar Shois HaChevel V'chaitech Afilu B'sakim. And then the Mechaba adds on a line. V'afilu Gufon Shal Chaisalos. And even the actual basket itself, you're also allowed to rip to bits. Because all of this is like cracking open a nut. In order to remove the food that is in them. Just like it's poshut to us that I'm allowed to crack open a nut on Shabbos. I'm not doing any seiser. It's not called Hilchus demolishing of a keli because it's a shayva to the pri. It's part of the pri. And I'm cutting it open in order to access the fruit, access the nut. So says the Shulchan Aruch, exactly the same halacha applies to these baskets that are surrounding my unripened fruit. I'm allowed to rip it to bits because what I'm doing is I'm cutting something which is a shayme lepri. And Simon Shin Yudad of Shulchan Aruch is mainly about the halachas of seiser keli. When it is a problem of seiser, when it's not a problem of seiser, the Shulchan Aruch is telling us that your side of a shayme lepri is not seiser. Now,
sorry, is the fruit still unripe? Did you say
the fruit is in there? But well, when you are tearing it, it's no longer is ripe.
Why am I tearing it?
Yeah, because now fully ripened.
It, so it's already ripe.
It's now ripe. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, you wouldn't eat it if it's not ripe and correct. Yeah. So that process obviously took a few days.
Yeah, I think you said it was still unripe.
That says unripe. Yeah. Apologies. So when you put it in, it wasn't ripe. Let's be clear. When you put the fruit in, it wasn't ripe, and now I want to access the food and want to eat it. So clearly, it must be now ripe. Thank you for pointing that out. Now, within the Paiskin themselves, there are various understandings as to what exactly this heter is of being a Shayme Lepri. Just as a very brief introduction, it's not the main point of discussion today, but just to set the scene a little bit. So, there's a Prima Godim. Prima Godim says that, which is the most simple pshat, is that you are Shayme Lepri because the only reason why it's there is to assist the ripening of the actual fruit. It's not there to contain items. It's there to contain fruit that haven't yet developed. The way they manufactured the basket was that it's got holes. So it's made in a tzura that there's an air penetration through the holes. It allows the process of the fruit to come lidehechsha achila. And that's the tachlis of these baskets, right? So that's the Prima Golem's pshat in there. That's why it's a Shomer Lepri. There's another pshat given by Rav Moshe. So the Prima Golem is in Sivkotin, Yud Gimel, and Yud Dalet. He says the same point twice. The Rav Moshe is in Igros Moshe, Chelek Aleph, Simon Kuf, Chof Beis, Ois Tes. He says that because you're going to throw away this basket after it's used, he understands that they didn't use the same basket twice, which is a bit of an akimta. They used to, in time of the Gemara, in time of the Shulchan Aruch, what they used to do is they used to have these fruits, they used to allow them to ripe, and they open the basket, and then chuck it away and get another one for the next lot of fruit that they either bought or they went to hand pick, whatever it was. Right? They used them, it was a one-off use. So it's what we called chad pami, is the words in disposable, exactly. And therefore, that's the hatta.
Without the basket, it wouldn't ripen.
It might. No, it would. That's what they used to do. You want to punct the technicalities of. I guess they wanted to protect them as well at the same time. If you just have them in the open, they might rot quicker, or there might be too much heat of the sun, or too much the temperature might be affected by it. You know, all other technical aspects that might affect the ripening.
Is it different opening the bag of crisps?
No, possibly not. Possibly not. It might be exactly the same. Many poskim, and that's why we just bought Rav Moshe. The Rav Moshe says that because you're going to throw it away afterwards, it's okay. So the Rav Moshe, amongst others, proof from this halacha
But you're allowed to open packets of on Shabbos. You're 100%. You're 100% right. Not everyone agrees to it, but yeah, 100% right. This is one of the main makaris that you can open packets on Shabbos. Sorry? According to your Moshe, yeah, well, nobody eats packets of crisps and doesn't chuck the packet away.
If you want to keep the packet
away. Yeah, which is not standard.
Yeah, we're getting off track.
We are getting off track, you're correct.
Getting off track.
Yes. Yes. Kira, you're 100% right. It's if you keep it, which in this in the case of packing open a crisp, you're a bit strange. Most people don't, then it'll be awesome, according to your Moshe. And finally, the Chazon Ish in the Siman and Aleph Sif Katan Yud Gimel, he says a third mahalach, which is that you are not osuk in the stira of the keli. I'm doing it purely to get to the contents of the basket, right? And it doesn't have a halacha of saisa keli because I'm doing it in a destructive manner. I'm not interested in the basket. I'm doing it purely to access the fruit inside, right? And that's a famous hat of the Chazon Ish, that whenever you are destroying something, which is a bigger chumrah than Rav Moshe. According to Rav Moshe, I can open it a normal way. I'm just intending not to, only to use it once. So that's already not soisa. According to the Chazon Ish, you have to be doing it in a destructive way that you can't physically use it again. So that's many people, when they open packets on Shabbos, they're machmir to follow the shit of the Chazon Ish. They'll only open it if they're doing it in a way that the packaging is no longer usable afterwards. But akponim, that's a different shotim in the halacha of Shulchan Aruch and how we apply it to our more modern applications. Now, the issue here is that there's no mention in the Mechaber of a problem of Korea, which is a bit ikka what I'd like to discuss.
If you tear it, you're going to have some left over.
Why? No, they took out. They took them all out.
Why?
That's what they used to do.
They can't leave some inside.
That's not. That's what they used to do. Had we lived in those days, maybe we would have seen how they did it. But that's what they. That's what. According to Moshe, for sure, he says they only ripped it when they were all ripened. And you're asking technical questions. Ich weiß nicht. Exog no eber from the poskim. In Achanami, if you're a Moshe, yeah. If they hadn't fully ripe, obviously they wouldn't. For sure, they wouldn't do it in a destructive way, right? If you're a Moshe, you know, it still has a Taras Keli because they're going to still use it. It will tackle Biasa. Yeah. Comes along the Bialacha. Yeah, let's get to the sugya. The Bialacha asks a beautiful question. The Mechabe is handling here in Shinya Dalet Hilchus Soiser, right? Breaking a Keli. He's telling you a Chiddush of Shomer LePrei. So the Bialacha says, I don't understand. He says, you're tearing a string. Let's go to line Aleph of this halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You're ripping a string, attaching a cover to a basket on Shabbos. What is my heter to rip that string? Right? That string is l'cha'ira k'ireya. You're ripping it. You're tearing it. Right? Are you allowed to tear a string on Shabbos?
Is there a purpose?
I would have said not. You tell me, is there a purpose?
Well, I'm asking you.
If it's,
why are you tearing this?
If it's mekalkel,
yes.
If he's destroying the string or he's breaking it, then
yes.
It's only going to be in the sedrabanan at worst. No?
Okay, and it's mutter?
I didn't say mutter. Right. I said it's sedrabanan.
Say that. So you're narrowing down the problem to it's sedrabanan. Yeah. You're 100% right.
Well,
so,
when you throw Korea at us, it sounds like, you know, we're
yeah. Derisive. There's two options. It's either amenasa sacking, which would be a derisa,
yeah.
And there's either not amenasa sacking, which would be a drabanan. But you're right. It's the kasha is it should be osa. Right? The cash is it should be awesome.
If you can get to the bag, but
the bag is one thing, the
string is another. I misunderstood your question. Again?
You pull the basket
yeah.
To get it to the basket.
Okay, and therefore?
Is that why you're tearing it?
So yes, okay, and therefore?
Is that why you're
you see, you're throwing me the same hat that the Chazon Ish says by Soisa. Well, I just told you a minute ago from the Chazon Ish. You're doing it the destructive way. You're right, 100% right. The Bialacha doesn't hold to the Chazon Ish, because it doesn't say the tarot's the Chazon Ish. But. But shame, yeah. But the Chazon Ish himself says what you're saying. And Achanami, you're right. If we say the Chazon Ish, we do it in a destructive way, and they say that's pshat ve, we can all go home. You're 100% right. But the Bialacha doesn't say that, yeah? Bialacha says the following. I read you out a few lines of the Bialacha. Diva maschil, chay saloi, shel, tomorrow. Ve'ein shayich lesa machmas korea gufa. So there's a Mishnah in Shabbos, Taf Ayin Gimel Daleth, that says, HaKireya, Amanas litzvah shtei tefiros. If you tear something in order to make two stitches on Shabbos, you are chayev. Av melacha on Shabbos. Why? Because in the Mishkan, when there was a bite from an insect in the ureos, the curtains that surrounded the Mishkan, they used to rip the surrounding area first in order to make a seam afterwards to make it nicer. If there'd be a little bite, right, and they wouldn't tear it first, then sewing it up would be kmatim, there'd be folds, it wouldn't be so glut. So what they used to do is they used to first tear the surrounding area first, and then they used to re-sew it again. So that was Korea Amanas Litzvah in the Mishkan. So the Mishnah says that you're chayav for that, right? So the Bialacha says, but if you don't do that, and we're going to discuss Amanas Litzvah, I'm not Amanas Litzvah in a second, I'll tell you what I mean by that. He says it's still awesome Rabbanon. He says it's still awesome Rabbanon. So, says the Bialacha, are you sight? And this is what we want to get to. De'in shayach shem zeh, elo b'kriyas ha-beged. To shayach by kerea amanas litvar. We only say that it's asamid rabbanon to tear on Shabbos, even if I'm not doing it amanas litvar, if it's possible to be toifa afterwards. So you tear a beged, it's possible to re-sew the beged afterwards. Therefore, chazal will geize, even if I don't do it l'shem kach, it's still asa on Shabbos. Olahachi gozer rabbanon afila b'shalay amanas litvar. Masha'ein kein boza. So the Bialach is telling us he is soid in Korea. If I'm tearing a string, I'm not over Korea drabonon. Why? Because I can't re-sew it. It's impossible to re-sew. If I snap a string in half, it's impossible to re-sew it to itself. Right? A chiddush of the Bialach, that even mid drabonon, it's going to be mutter in such a case. Now, the Achronim asked that the Bialach is a pella, because somebody said a second ago that you can have Amanas Lesakin as well. It's the Bialach himself in Simon Shin Mem, Sif Yudalad, is Marech Barichas to prove that many Rishonim, and therefore Lalach as well, that to be Korea Amanas, to be Chayav on Shabbos, you don't have to do it with intention to re-sew, it's sufficient to tear in order to be masaking, which means you're getting a constructive purpose as a result of tearing. So first of all, that would be negeya sometimes in our case as well, and therefore it would still be shayach to be geizer or to that case. But more than that, the chayav this very case is amanas l'sakin, because you're ripping the string in order to access the fruit which are in the basket. So this very case, the chayav is amanas l'sakin, and yet the mishnah, the bialacha tells me it is mutar.
So in order to reach the fruit, you're not fixing anything. It's not amanas l'sakin. What are you
sure?
Saying?
No. So the tikkun is that to be able to do something that I can do better as a result of what I did. So you could argue and say, yeah, that how are you going to access the fruit? You can't access it if it. That's the way they had it. They had it literally tied with this string. You couldn't get that unless you were to open the thing, right?
I understand, but
so that's called a tikkun.
So maybe you can't.
What?
So maybe you can't.
I understand. The Halacha says you can.
Yeah.
But what's the tikkun?
Yeah. Are you with me? I'm not.
I don't understand the tikkun.
A tikkun means a constructive result as a result of my action. Do I have a constructive result as a result of my action of tearing?
You've got torn material.
Yeah. I understand, but why am I tearing it? I'm tearing it to. I want my beautiful, juicy fruit.
Einik Shabbos. The basket and the string remains broken.
Okay, so what?
It's not tikkun.
There's no tikkun in the string. So what you're saying is, I need tikkun in the string. So yeah. That is another halachic discussion in Hilchus, in Simon Shin Mem, Sif what? Let's have a look. Sif, it talks about envelopes on Shabbos, which I wasn't planning on talking about, but... Sif Yud Dalet. Sif Yud Gimel. There's a discussion about Halacha. He basically paskens Halacha. So use Machoik Shoshonim, and Machoik Shoshonim as well, if you tear A in order to have a tikkun and B, is that also Osam in HaTorah? Which is basically our case, right? And Mishnah Berurah is, the Bialacha is Choshish Flat Shita Halacha, right? So that is the issue we have on hand. It's quite a serious problem, this. Just to give weight to the Kasha, this is a big problem. So I'd like to address this. Now, this is Nageya. Yes. So we suggest that we brought before Machlokes to Moshe and the Chazanish. Moshe says no, Chazanish says yes.
If you need to eat the fruit, why can't you just do whatever you need to do to get the
Because you're not allowed to tear on Shabbos.
But if you need to get to the fruit,
doesn't matter, you're not allowed to tear on Shabbos. I understand that. So that's what we were mucked in before.
Yeah.
Right? You'll do chazar with your chavrusa after the shir. You know, you'll get the points clear. Yeah? I'm sorry, I need to move on. I've got less than 10 minutes till I finish the shir. So what I'd like to ask you today, yeah, are you allowed to tear a price tag on Shabbos that you bought your suit or whatever it is before Shabbos? Obviously, you should be tearing it before Shabbos. And when I say obviously, it's something so easy to forget. And the poskim do say again and again and again that try your very best to remember to remove everything before Shabbos that you might need to use on Shabbos. But we're talking about a b'di'evet situation where a person forgot. So is he allowed to rip? This can be negeir to price tags. It can be negeir to dry cleaning labels, tags. And you can add on as many other possibilities as you want. I'm just giving you two examples. Sorry? Beseda. Kavod Abriyah. Okay. Kavod Abriyah. Very nice. And so, yeah. So are you allowed to rip it on Shabbos? Kavod Abriyah, by the way, is not Stam Muta. Yeah? Kavod Abriyah is not Kavod Abriyah. Kavod Abriyah has its Gedorim in itself. So... so we can use this bi'alacha to apply it in our case, and the bi'alacha is telling you it's muta. Now we have got a kasha that's amnat litvar. So there's an avnei neza. The avnei neza does not bring this bi'alacha, but avnei neza is meyased yisoid, which I don't have time to read out all the makomis that we could quote, but I will give you a point of the ma'am makomis. Avnei neza is in Urachaim, it's in Makuf Pevav. He says the yisoid. And he bases this on a Tosfos in Gittin, Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that if you write on ink with red pigment, which is a red dye, right? So it rubs out it affects the reading of the diyoy. You can't read the letters that was written with the black ink beforehand. So the Gemara says, you chayev on Shabbos for meichik, because you've rubbed out, you've erased the ability to read the letters which are written with ink. Yeah? Now, Taizaz asks the kasha that meichik is only chayev if it's amanas lichtayv. You're doing something destructive. You're only chayev if you do mechik on Shabbos, if you're doing it in order to write after. So the Gemara doesn't say that you're doing it to write after. So Taizaz says, you know what? It's oimed to be written on top of it with ink. In other words, this fellow, says Taizaz, who's writing with his red dye, red color on top of the black ink, is not doing it purely to get rid of the ink. He wants to write on top. Why is he busy with his red? Because he wants to make the colors brighter or the colors clearer. So it'll be a nicer form of ksav if you were to do this process. Now, if you look at the words of Tosfos and getting your testament aleph, Tosfos doesn't say that he did it with the intention of writing. Tosfos says the mistama. I made lichtayv. Huge chiddush of Taisus. It can be assumed that this fellow is going to rewrite on top of the sikra with black ink, and that makes his maisa mechika amanas lichtayv, which is a huge chiddush. The fellow didn't necessarily have any specific intention to go and write on top, but because that is what he will probably be doing, so his very action, by definition, is in order to go and write afterwards. Says Tosfos, that's sufficient for Moichik Amanas Lichtayv. That's what the Avnei Zeh brings. The Avnei Zeh brings another raya from a famous Shaila. If you can open a sefer on Shabbos or a book on Shabbos that has writing or pictures on the outside of the sides of the pages. So when I'm opening it, I am technically doing a Mechika because you can't read the word, so you're taking away the letters from each other. And when I put them back together again, I'm doing a ksiva. There's a huge shaila in the Paiskim. The Levush is extremely machmed. The Levush in Mishnah Berurah, Shin Mem, Sif Mem Aleph, I think it is. He quotes this Levush. The Levush has a tzad to say Yochayev. Yeah. Now, I'm not telling you that it's chayev la'alacha. The Mishnah Berurah says the minhag is lahakel because the Ramah and Tshuvas is chaylik on him, but he says that it's better to avoid it if one can, v'chulei v'chulei. But he, if you look at the words of the Levush, which are quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, quoted by the Taz and Sifkot and Beis over there, in Sima Shin Mem, you look at the words of Levush, yeah, he says, he doesn't say the fellow did it amanas to write, to close the book. Because when you open a sefer, you're not thinking in your very action, ah, I'm going to close it in an hour's time when I've finished learning my daf. You're not thinking that. Right? What are you thinking? You're thinking you're going to use the sefer. But every time, by definition, you open a book, you're not going to leave it open. You're going to eventually close it. Unless you fall asleep, whatever, but you can find cases. But in generally speaking, you're going to be closing that sefer. Yes, according to the Levush. Yes, that's what we're saying. So the Levush says that even though he may not have had in direct intention, Bishas, when he opened the sefer, to close it, it's called Amanas Lechtoiv, because Mistama, I made... To close, it's more than Mistama, he will. Right? So Avinezer says, you see from the Levush, the same you saw in the Tosin Gittin, the Amanas Lechtoiv, it doesn't have to be a specific intention. It's enough that is the pashtus of what's going to happen. Says the Avinezer, what is the Havona in this? The Havona is that even if you were to tell me that to be chayv on Shabbos, we're not looking for a intention for a tefira. I'm not looking for a ksiva. It's enough to be mechavein, to get a tikkun. That's only for the actual chiv. For the chiv, it has to be to do it amanas of a constructive purpose. But there's another condition, says the Avnezer, that I need a tsuras hamalacha. I learned from the Mishkan what the tsura of a malacha is. What is the tsura? What is the shape? What is the mechanism, the constructed form of meleches kireya and meleches meichek? The form of it is that this kireya is oimed for a tefira. This mechika is oimed for a ksiva. Now, yes, I also have to have a specific intention to do a tikkun. That's true. But even if I do have a direct intention for a tikkun, I need the tsura samlacha to be taking place while I do the kriya mechika in order to be chayav. A huge chiddush, which you won't find in most svarim, but this is the Yisoid Avinezer based on these rayas. So I would like to suggest that's pshat in this bialacha. Bialacha agrees that to be chayav on Shabbos, it's enough to be kireya amanas litzvarim, or amanas lesakin, emes. But according to the Avinezer, there's another tanai. It's not just the tanai, it's that the actual tzura of the malacha of kireya can only be a malacha, by definition, if the kireya is oimed for a tefira. Why? Because that's the way they did it in the Mishkan. You want to know, when do I say tzura, when do I not say tzura, when do I learn from Mishkan? It's not a discussion for now. I don't really have a proper answer to the question anyway. It's very, very unclear in the Rishonim and the Poskim what exactly we learn from the Mishkan, what exactly we don't learn from the Mishkan. But one thing we can say is that by these malachas, akoponim, by kireya amanas litzvar, and by meichik amanas lechtoiv, the definition of the malacha is not just to get a tikkun. It's that by definition of my malacha, it has to be that what I'm doing now is oimid for the tefira. Says the bialacha, it's all very nice that for my chiv, it's okay to do it amanas lesakin, which I'm doing over here in this case of chaysala, is because I want my fruit. It says the bialacha, I'm missing the actual criteria of the malacha in itself. The criteria of the malacha of kireya is that it's amanas litra, which means it has to be technically possible, has to be technically be oimed to go and re-sew it. That I don't have. I cannot re-sew a string to each other. When I do this rip, this very rip has to be possible to reconnect. I have to be able to what's the word?
Reconnect.
It has to be a retractable... You have to be able to reverse, that's what I'm looking for, you have to be able to reverse back to do the tefira of the kriya that I did. That I don't have.
The fact that I can knot the two ends together
doesn't matter, because that's not a tefira. That's okay. A kshira.
And gluing.
Yeah?
So if I can glue it with super glue in it.
That's not a tefira.
That's not called...
I mean, It's a toldah. No, it's a toldah. It's not an al-malacha. Al-malacha has to be that you literally... Therefore it's mutter. And that's the lomdus. But al-akhla maysa, yes, exactly the same thing. You know, even without the Shtuka Torah, the Yavah be al-akha, but first should be al-akha in Hilchah Shabbos, that there's no Issa Koreah by any string. So you have a tag attached to a string. Obviously, you should open it before Shabbos, but if you forgot, you have a bialacha to be
same. So anything you can tear, we should
not put together.
No,
right.
Does it have to be as good as before?
What do you mean?
If you have to be reattached in the same way as it was originally.
No, not exactly. It doesn't have to be exactly the same. It has to be that you can reset it.
It's
not about fit for purpose. It's about doing a tefira. Have to reset.
So all those bags which are on the paper, so you tear them, and you can't put them together.
What bags are you referring to?
The best thing around the newspaper, for example.
Yes.
Those you tear completely.
Yes.
That's fine.